I'm going to ask Chad to come and read it this time. This scripture he's going to read is out of Peter, first chapter, 3 through 13, and has a lot of great stuff. Listen carefully.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which perishes, though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I was thinking about how these men of old were seeking the Spirit of Christ that was within them to when Christ would come, what would happen. And if you read the Old Testament, one of the things that we'll touch is God's precision when he instructed people to do things. It was very, a lot of it was very, very precise. How to build the temple, how to build the ark, how to do the ritual things. And one thing I just want to really encourage you, this I don't think it's just my viewpoint. It's from a lot of years of study and a lot of years of reading and just looking at life, but I'm going to talk to you today about value and what we value and how we're valued. But there are so many people that read all that stuff in the Old Testament and think that all those things that God said to put on the right clothes and put on this on your head and do this little thing and paint it just right this way, it appears that he values those things. And so a lot of Christians, how you perceive God is going to control absolutely what you perceive about yourself and about everybody else and what's valuable. And so that because they think God really is into all those things, that now we need to keep doing those things and be very precise about it. So some people get really bent about things that we actually do here on earth. You know, and I can, I hate to bring up examples, but I'm going to, you know, I mean, just down to like, you know, wearing robes or when you do communion, wipe the cup just right. There's just little things that can be so precious to us. And I'm not saying they don't have value, but remember this, that everything God did back then, he then explains it to us through the through Peter and through others, as saying those things were done as a type and a shadow of the Christ that was coming, that would bring us into a real relationship with God and break down the wall barrier. And so I asked the Lord once, why were you so detailed about all those things? And he said, because I wanted you to understand, I want everybody to understand that everything that had to be done to get Christ here and to forgive you of your sins and to give you life had to be done in perfection. You know, they tell us that in every cell in your body, that every second there's about 100,000 things that take place, processes take place, and if one of them screws up in the slightest, that cell gets damaged and dies. I don't know about you, but that's really overwhelming. Because how many things go perfect? But every day, gazillion things go perfect in your body to keep living. It is possible. But with God, he said, but when Christ was on that cross and said, it is finished, he said, I've completed all those details. Everything is completed for you now. The veil's been rent. And now there's a gospel of peace between us and God, that we can now have a perfect relationship with him because of what Christ did. My thing is this, value the outcome of all those things. Don't value them in themselves. In other words, you know, sometimes, you know, whatever you like to do to remind yourself is great, but live in the moment of experiencing intimacy with God. That's what all that took place for. You know, as Tammy was sharing, one of the things that when you don't believe that and trust in that, then you'll try to satisfy the desires of your heart and the desires of your flesh by your own effort, and it will get you into trouble. And it's not so much that you disappoint God, it's the fact that trouble will haunt you. It'll bite you. I was down in a business in Rapid City, stopping in. I had some business to do with them, and found the manager and that we know, and I don't know him real well, but we talked business, we talked a plan of solving a problem, and then I just kind of felt led to stand there for a little while and just, you know, not act like I wasn't in a hurry, which I was. And finally, I just said something about asking about his family, and man, for the next half hour, he got to share just a lot of things he's going through. This man's a very successful businessman. Family's great. But mom, dad, going through tough things. And we're standing there, you know, in an open area. And he just begins to tear up. Because all of this is just not fun to go through. Trying to figure it all out, you know, and try to help his mom and dad and different things going on, and I just thought, man, God, we just sometimes look on the outside, and it looks like people are doing great, looks like they're confident, looks like they're full of joy or whatever, and sometimes you just got to remember, man, some people are really hurting. They just put on a good front because they don't want to just fall apart, but one of the things that you and I get to do here is represent God, and you know, for what it's worth, all I did was listen for the most part. But I thought when I left, man, if all that was on my heart, I'd want to talk to somebody. Just to get it out and just to say I'm hurting, I don't know what to do, and you and I get to do that. So I want to encourage you just to value your relationships with people that you may not think you have that much influence or may not care, but boy, sometimes it's being a person that cares and listens, and sometimes you'll have maybe some wisdom to share. But, you know, when I think about when I'm trying to prepare a message, I was always just asking, Lord, what do you want to talk about? And I follow the things that he places in my heart, and it's quite a process, actually, all week long, and I'm always amazed at the songs that we pick and everything else, how you realize, boy, the Lord really is leading us, and he is leading us as a group, you know. But even as a group, though, we're all going through different things. We can't address everything on Sunday morning that everybody's going through. At the same time, you just think, man, he is like what Jody just said. He's running us down, trying to give us into this place of peace and comfort and love, and give us answers. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Dictionary says this about value. The regard that something is held to deserve. The regard that something is held to deserve. You know, a lot of times we say, Lord, I don't deserve this. I don't, you're blessing me so much. And etc. You know, I don't know why he loves me. And I think it's very important for us to grow up and get the knowledge. Why does he love us? Because he is love. It's totally based on his virtue and his character, not on us at all. If you think you're doing something that makes, you know, that makes God love you, there's a little bit of foolishness right there. Okay? He loves us because he created us and he values us and he's given us what we deserve, which is salvation. He's given us what we deserve, which is everything. What he's given us, we deserve simply because of Jesus Christ and no other reason. It's really good to keep that really simple in your heart that he wants me to have everything in abundance because of what Jesus did and no other reason. Boy, that's important. Never, you know. And so let me go back to the scripture in 1 Peter. I won't read it all, but verse 7 says this, so that the proof of your faith being more precious, and that word precious is actually translated most of the time value, that the proof of your faith being more valuable than gold, which is perishable. Your faith is incredibly valuable. Incredibly valuable. The righteous man lives by faith. What's that mean? It means what we're persuaded about God and his character is going to determine everything that takes place in our life. It doesn't mean that everything will be rosy, but it will mean, like Jody was saying, there's a lot of things that hits us, but it will mean that he will deliver you from every trouble. He will take you through. He will bring you into triumph and ultimately in every area of life. How valuable is your faith? And if you and I don't value our faith, then we will not spend much time to develop it, or we will think it isn't that important, or we don't have, or we'll discredit our faith that we have and say it's not that great. And it, you know, what's really, I think, is kind of awesome, it says here that the angels actually long to look into this relationship that we have with God. It's a mystery to them. It's a phenomenon. And here's angels that are so powerful and, you know, all that. And yet they are trying to say, man, what is this thing that God has done with mankind? He's made them in his own image and he wants them to be in his family for eternity. And he values them so much. You know, God's got a plan for man. I don't know if Satan's got a plan. I'm not sure about that. Satan is been cursed, and there's no hope for him. He's kind of just out of control. All the fruits of the Spirit he does not have, so he doesn't have self-control. But he might have a plan, I don't know, but he's got a strategy anyway. But let's say he's got a plan for you, and God's got a plan, and which one's going to happen? And you got your own plans. Which one's going to happen, and which one should happen? And obviously, the common sense will even tell you, you know, if you just think about it, God's plan would be the best because he knows everything about you. He created you. He's got nothing but kind intentions for you. He has the wisdom. He has the power. He has the love. And his plan is just perfect for you. And it fits you perfectly. And it's your plan, nobody else's plan. But you know what you and I believe about God can literally limit what he can do in our life. In fact, I don't believe there's really anything else that can limit what God can do in your life except you and what you believe. I don't believe he makes us a subject. Now, that doesn't mean somebody can't hurt you, but it means God can always restore, God can always heal, but he can get you through. And so when you think about our short little time here on earth, what do you and I value? What should we value? And I think part of it would be, you know, let's value what he values, that'd be the sensible thing. You know, there's, you know how many things we do to try to get other people's approval? I mean, I just get a kick out of it, don't you? I mean, I think I'm really grown in spiritual things. I feel like I'm a mature man. And, you know, and all that. But anyway, once in a while, I just humor myself because I'll see a truck, a nice pickup, and I go, oh, I'd look good in that pickup. I'd look good. And whether I like to admit it or not, you know, I want a sound pickup. I want one, you know, one that, you know, runs good. I like the luxuries. But the truth is, it's like how would people perceive me? I'm just being honest. It comes up. You know, just even picking out clothes or whatever else, well, how will that look, you know? I'm not one that spends a lot of time on it. You can figure that out pretty fast because a lot of times I can totally come out uncoordinated as far as clothing. But at the same time, it's, you know, how many little things we do. We can talk about peer pressure in high school, but it never leaves. It just gets more sophisticated and sneaky. And this is what Jesus said about it in John 5. He goes, how can you believe? Remember, our faith is valuable. It's the most valuable thing you and I have down here to receive everything that God has is our faith. Faith pleases God. He values it. Be it done to you according to what you believe. So how valuable is that? It means everything in your relationship with God is going to, it's not him holding back anything. It's us limiting him because of our misbelief system. So how important, and Jesus says this, how can you believe when you're still seeking the glory of others? And that word glory means opinions. How are you going to believe in me and really receive all that I have for you if you're going to keep worrying about what people think of you? Now, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to say if we want to excel in this lifetime, and I do, you know, I'm willing to, I want more peace. I want more joy. And I also want more results. While I'm down here, I want to win. I've taken a lot of blows in life, but I tell you, you know, and they bother me and they weaken me, whatever else. But ultimately, I come to a place of saying, dang it, I want to win. I'm going to beat this sucker. I'm going to figure it out. And that's why even today, it's a part of this message is coming out of my own seeking of valuing my own faith to make the most of every moment I got down here. He says, how can you believe when you're seeking the glory of men and do not seek the glory of the one and only living God? Seeking the opinion, seeking his pleasure, seeking his glory means having his viewpoint of life and his what he values come into your life and value the same things. You know, if you think about it this way, kind of fun, is if you think about if pleasing the Heavenly Father and walking with him isn't valuable to you, I mean, how valuable is it to have people think well of you? I mean, there's some value in that, but really, I'm going to go back to it because I think it's real. But I see people driving them by in a brand new pickup and all that, and I mean, man, you got, oh, they look good in that. Man, that looks sharp. And then you find out later that they've mortgaged everything. They got $1,000 payment on the thing. They're barely making it. Their marriage is going down because their finances are so tough. But, boy, I'm going to keep that sucker because I want to look good on the highway. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's humbling to be a human being. We're idiots. We really don't have anything to offer God. The Bible says all your goodness is nothing but a filthy rag to him. You know, in other words, trying to impress him with your greatness is really a futile thing. That's why you finally come to this thing of just saying, I repent, Lord, I have nothing, but you said you'd love me, you said you value me, you said you'd cleanse me, you said that you'd make me awesome, you said you'd make me your own child. I accept your deal. I accept. I'll exchange everything I've got, which is a minus, not even a zero, for all that you have for me. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the disciples that I think really grasped the love of God was John. And I say that because of what John says, the Apostle John. Let me just read a couple of scriptures. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Let me read that again. This is out of John 21. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And so anyway, this is when they're in the boat and Jesus been raised from the dead. And he comes, he's on the shore cooking fish. Don't you get a kick out of that? Jesus is not the same Jesus that he was at the beginning. I don't know how to explain this. I don't. Just saying this, that when Jesus came and died on the cross, he really died. He died. He died. He is resurrected, a new creation. He has a different position with the Father than he ever did before. And part of that position is he now can swallow you and I up into his position, and we become one before him. It's an incredible thing. It's more miraculous than you can imagine. But anyway, I don't know just how that body of his works now, you know, whatever. I think he's still limited. That's why he said it's better for me to go to heaven, because I can't hang with all of you, but the Holy Ghost can. But anyway, I just think it's amazing. He's on the shore, and he had some fish cooking. And he yells at the disciples, "Hey, bring in some more fish. Come and join me." And I got to say, how did he get the fish? Did he just reach down the water and tell one of them to come, and he grabbed them? And I don't. I just think it's fun. There's a practical side here. But anyway, that's a rabbit trail. But John says, and this is John saying it because he wrote the Gospel of John. He just says, "I'm the one the Lord loves." Boy, wouldn't you think that just sounds like a Trump? You know? How arrogant. How boastful. What kind of a statement is that coming from an apostle? Talking about another apostle, just saying, "Hey, I'm the one the Lord loves." I mean, isn't that amazing? So don't, you know. And then I want to read John 21. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also was leaned up back on his bosom at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who's going to betray you?" So here's, not only John had this incredible belief system that the Lord really loved him and that he had a special place with the Lord. And so even on a practicality side, when they were sitting down with the Last Supper, it was John who went there first, got and laid his own head on Jesus' breast and just said, man, he just snuggled up to Jesus. He had, man, I don't know about you, but it's like, wow, I've got issues. Is that the way I want to be, or is that the way I should be, or, you know, what, you know? And I personally think it's John got onto something that's super powerful. He believed God loved him. He believed he was extraordinary special to God and to Jesus. And he's, as far as history goes, he's the only one we believe that wasn't martyred. They tried to put him in a hot boiling oil, and they couldn't kill him. That'd been something to experience, wouldn't it? And he lived to be an old age. Why? I think having a witness. Enoch had a witness. He was pleasing to God, and God took him. There's something about by our faith, by what we believe, we can obtain a witness that we're pleasing to God, that God absolutely adores us. And if we'll get that, everything in his kingdom starts flowing into us in a greater dimension. It's an incredible thing. And yet our flesh cringes. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be Trump. I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be that. But the beautiful thing is, remember this, God has the capacity to love each and every one of us in that manner. You getting special love from the Lord does not ever, ever, ever take it away from somebody else. That's the incredible thing about God. He is so big. He can be intimate with each one of us in an extraordinary, special way. No two snowflakes are the same, and no two people's relationship with the Lord is the same. We struggle with that. We want to make everybody's relationship the same. Most preachers will preach to you a mold of how you should be receiving God and how you should be walking with God and all the things you should do. And if there's ever some, if you ever catch me doing that, just blow me off. Just say, forget you. What I'm encouraging you to do is find your own relationship with him and believe that he really absolutely adores you. Why? Because he paid a price. And it's his evaluation. And part of it is, who are you and I to question God and say, why would you love me? Why do you love me? I mean, it's like, who are you? Would you do that to anybody you had deep respect? I mean, just if you really respect and honor somebody and they make a decision, Who are you to challenge it? In other words, it's not pride and arrogance that causes us to look in the mirror and say, I love you, John. I love you, Bob. I love you, George. I love you, Helen. Say our own name. That's not arrogance and that's not pride. It's humility to say, I'm not going to take my evaluation of my life and mark the value system by that. I'm going to trust you that you know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. And you tell me that you love me. For God so valued the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, one thing I think is, I thought about that, I believe he was helping me see just even this morning. I wrote this down. His evaluation of your value looks past your time and existence on earth. Somebody sent me a little video this morning of a preacher that was preaching, and he had a rope that went who knows how long, and he had a little red tape on about this long, and he just said, this is your time on earth, and we focus on this time. We've done it several ways here, but our time on earth is about like that, you know, in comparison. But we put almost all our value is based on this earthly time. As Jody was hearing, I've got friends, man, if they're doing good financially, they just go, man, I'm really hearing God. I'm really walking with God. And if they're not doing good financially, I don't know why I missed it. And I go, for years, I wanted to say, man, you got a really pathetic value system going. Man, your life is not based on your income at all. It's such a short vapor this whole time down here. And yet most people, I mean, it's 100% that they think about that time. Some it's a very small percentage they ever think. But think about this. When God says, I love you and I value you, he's looking at an eternity with you, not just your time here on earth. And to be honest, this thought hit me that I got to admit, I haven't thought much. What's going to be my value? What's going to be your value when you leave this earth? What are you going to do in heaven that's going to be valuable? I mean, we spend so much time just thinking about how, you know, our own success down here in this short period of time. At least, and I'm one that I think I stretch out there a long ways compared to most people. But honestly, it's like, man, what will be my value in heaven? Well, obviously praising God on that, but I can't believe we're going to be not working. I can't believe we're not going to be productive. I can't believe that we're not going to be all the extraordinary gifts that are inside of us and everything he's placed inside of us are going to be free. Do you know, I noticed when I got out of high school, I was so concerned about what people thought of me. I noticed the very day I graduated and said, so long. It was not a heartbreak for me to say goodbye. I noticed there was a freedom in me. I could do physical things better than I could before. And I realized the pressure I had on me of worrying about what people thought of me really limited the gifts and abilities of my heart, my thinking, everything. I was just, I hated to admit it, but it's just like, man, I gave that way too much value. And I swore to myself I would never do it again. And I turned 25 and realized I did it again. And I said, man, I look back in the last 5 years worrying about what people thought of me, and I'm never going to do that again. I turned 30 and I did it. I did it. I'm still doing it. Still worried about what people think. But give this some thought. When he looks at you, he values you and he sees your whole eternity, not just your time here on earth. And he says, the kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure out in the field. And went and bought the field, sold everything he had to get that treasure. And he's talking about himself. Jesus saw the treasure, the Father saw the treasure in us and said, I'll sell everything I have to have them. That's your value is what somebody will pay for. Right? What's the value of my truck? Whatever somebody will give me. He gave himself. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that you know way more than we do. That you see way farther than we see. You look way more deeper in us than we do. You see past our flesh. And Father, the more I understand my flesh, the more I go, why are you so bent on wanting to walk in the wrong direction? But you see it all, and you know it all, and you know our future. And you're head over heels in love with us. You value us so much that you took everything you had and laid it on the line that you might have us. Father, of all the things that our little brains are trying to comprehend here on earth, there's no way we could ever wrap our mind around that. But then we can't see it. So we trust you, and we value your opinion above our own, and we just declare, no wonder you love us. It's easy to see. Because you've placed something inside of us. You placed eternity inside of us. You placed your own spirit inside of us. You placed everything you have inside of us. And we're asking that you'll just help us, Holy Spirit, to open up our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and see a little bit more, a glimpse of this incredible thing of your love towards us. And may we gain a little ground this week and the weeks to come in obtaining the witness that we're pleasing to you and that you're happy with us. You're way beyond that. Earthly words just don't describe it, does it? We love you, God. And because of that, we love ourselves. Give us victory in every area of our life, we pray. For thy name's sake, amen. 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 Have a great week.